right, good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm not Shane. I'm better looking than he is, smarter than he is, wiser than he, what? Oh, no, we're not going there. All right. As Marcelo said, please turn to Psalms 139 as we dive into God's Word this morning, and I pray that your heart is ready to receive what God has for us today. We've been in a series of messages over the last several weeks looking at how big is your God? That is the question that we've been asking. How big is your God? And I want us to take just a moment today and pause for a second and think about that question. How big is your God? You see, we need to understand that our view of God will determine in many ways how we live our lives. Our view of God will determine different decisions that we make, places that we go, things that we do. And so it's a great question for us to ask, how big is your God? Now, I know when we come to church on Sunday mornings, we're thinking of God, he's a big God, right? But how big is your God on Tuesday when the world's not going like you feel like it should be going? How big is your God come Thursday when bad news comes your way? How big is your God all throughout the week, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, when we leave this place and we're living life each and every day? And we can put this question to a test to see if our God is a big God or if our God is a little God. Is your God a big God or a little God? Here's the test. Does the way that you pray, does the way that you worship, does the way that you stand for truth, does the way that you love others, and does the way that you serve others reflect a big God or a little God? How about this? The way that you handle your finances, the way that you respond to people in your family, the way that you work together as a family, the way that you love each other as a family, does that reflect a big God or a little God? How about when you're around your neighbors in your neighborhood, or when you're at the store, when you're going to work, wherever it is that you go, do you reflect a big God or a little God? Now, we know that the right church answer would be, oh, my God's a big God, right? But do we reflect that in our life each and every day? I believe that it is easy for us to have a little faith in a little God. But I believe sometimes it's difficult for us, even as followers of Christ, to have a little faith in a big God. Let me say that again. It's easy for us to have a little faith in a little God, but sometimes it's difficult for us to have a little faith in a big God. Let me tell you what I mean. In Matthew, there's a story of a man who had a son who was having seizures. The man took the son to the disciples to try to get the disciples to pray over this boy and to heal this boy. The disciples tried and they failed at this task. The man takes the son to Jesus and he tells Jesus that I took my boy that is having seizures to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus prayed over the boy and the boy was healed. Well, later that evening, the disciples, as they were gathering around Jesus, said, why was it that we were not able to heal this boy, but you were able to? And Jesus responded to them in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I find this very interesting because the disciples asked Jesus, why could we not heal this young boy? Why was it? And Jesus says, because you have little faith. But then he responds to them and says, but if you would have faith the size of a mustard seed or as small as a mustard seed, then you'll be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. What's interesting about that is the size of a mustard seed. I was preaching that message 20 plus years ago. We had a college student in our church that was home for the weekend visiting his parents. And he came into my office the next day before he left. And he said, I began to wonder how small is a mustard seed. So he went to the store and he bought a jar of mustard seeds. And he brought them to my office. And he said, I want you to have these mustard seeds because I want you to remember just how small of a faith it takes to see a big God do great things. You can go to my office today and that jar of mustard seed is still there. Because it is a reminder that even with a little faith in a great God, that great God will do great things in our life. Do you believe that today? But sometimes we have faith, a little faith, in a little God, and we don't see those great things in our lives. But if we have little faith in a great God, then we will see him do great things. And that was what Jesus was telling the disciples. So again, I ask the question, how big is your God? How big is your God? Do you have a little faith in a little God? Or do you have a little faith in a big God? And the question is, how do we understand God enough to know how big he is? Well, in our passage today in Psalms 139, we will see an attribute of God that just helps us to understand even more how big this God is. But I want you to understand in Matthew, when Jesus was talking to those disciples, they had a little faith in a little God, but something changed in their life after the resurrection of Christ. It was after the resurrection of Christ that their faith was drastically changed, and now they've got a little faith in a big God, and God used them in a tremendous way. And when we think about that in our own lives, it's good to ask ourselves, how big is my God? Now, last week, Shane shared from Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6, and then he jumped down to verse 13 and shared more from there as we looked at the omniscience of God. In the omniscience of God, we see that God is all-knowing, that God knows everything about everything. He knows everything about us. Everything that there is to know about us, he knows, and yet he still loves us. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for his sake, right? We say that about another guy, but God is the one who truly knows all things. We saw that last week. And today we're going to continue on in Psalms 139, but we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12 as we consider a very profound truth about God, his omnipresence. God is omnipresent, which means that he is everywhere at the same time. There's no place anywhere that God is not fully present and that God is not fully aware. So look with me, if you would, Psalms 139, beginning in verse 7. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for the truth that comes through your word. And God, I just pray this morning that as we study your word together, that you would open up our eyes to help us to see, open up our minds to help us to comprehend, and open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. The first thing that I want us to grab a hold of this morning is this truth. It is impossible to escape God's presence. It's impossible for us to escape God's presence. Notice in verse 7 that the psalmist makes a statement. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Now, some versions, this is not a statement. This is actually a question that David is asking. Where can I go to get away from you? Where can I go to escape your presence? How can I get away? And it wasn't that David was asking the question that because he was wanting to get away from God. He was asking this question of, where can I go? There's nowhere. Where can I run? There's nowhere. Because your presence is everywhere. So whether it's a statement or a question, we need to understand that it is impossible for us to ever escape God's presence. Now, this should be comforting to each one of us today as we hold to the thought that God is always with us. Everywhere we go, God is always with us. And the reason that this should be comforting to us today is because there is something special about being in the very presence of God as a child of God. Would you agree with that today? There is something special about being in the presence of God as a child of God. Let me share with you a few things that I have learned over the years about God's presence. It is in God's presence when my heart is troubled that I can find true and lasting joy. It is in God's presence when I feel tired from life that I can find His rest. It is in God's presence when the world around me seems to be falling apart that I can have true peace. It is in His presence that I have hope in my life. It is in His presence that when I feel so weak that I cannot face another day, that He gives me the strength to face tomorrow. And it's in His presence that when I feel that I'm all alone, that is where He reminds me that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, there's something special about being in the presence of God. And the psalmist understood that. And keep in mind, he's not just writing scripture for it. This was a song. This would have been a worship song that they were singing about being in God's presence. And I have learned in my life that there is no place that is more powerful. There is no place that is more satisfying than being in the very presence of God. And David makes this statement. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. And so those are comforting words to me. But sometimes those words aren't comforting. Sometimes those words are convicting. And the reason that those words are convicting is because I am reminded that there are times in my life, because of sin, because of disobedience, because of pride, and the list can go on and on and on, that I find myself not in God's presence where I need to be. And let me just say before I look at this, that if you find yourself far from God, God's not the one that moved. And His presence is still everywhere, and we're avoiding His presence sometimes in our life because of these things that we've allowed in, where we have replaced God as being number one in our life to other things being in that position. And so sometimes in our life, we find that we are trying to hide from God. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the story of when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And after they sinned in the garden, they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed, and so they were hiding from God. And Scripture tells us in Genesis 3 that God came and He called out to Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam, who was hiding from God, stepped out and said, I'm here. I was hiding because I was naked. Now, I find that interesting because God asked Adam a question and said, Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where he was, but God knew exactly where Adam was. Even though Adam was trying to hide, he was not able to hide. But God could have approached His sinful creation with anger. He could have approached His sinful creation with condemnation or with instant judgment. But He didn't do that. Instead, God approached Adam with a question. And through that question, God was showing Adam His grace, His love, and His desire for reconciliation. When He said, Adam, where are you? That question was to draw Adam out and to help Adam understand, you're not going to be able to hide from me. And Adam, you messed up. But Adam, I still love you. You want to know if you can hide from God or not? Ask Adam and Eve in the garden if they could hide from God. And the answer to that is no, you cannot hide from God. Even in Adam's sin, he could not hide. He could not escape the presence of God. Sometimes in our lives, we try to flee from God or we try to run from the presence of God. And usually this comes from disobedience to God. Maybe God's asking us to do something or God's wanting something from our lives and we're not ready to give that up. We're not ready to do that. Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Jonah? Raise your hand. Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And God tells Jonah, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to speak to the people in Nineveh about their wickedness. Well, Jonah did not like the Ninevites. And he didn't think that they needed to hear this message from God, and he wasn't going to be the one to deliver it. So Jonah goes and he runs and he gets on a boat that's headed to Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction of Nineveh. After the boat gets out on the sea, a big storm comes up and the boat is rocking. The guys are doing everything they can. They're trying to row the boat to the shore. And they can't. The waves are just too strong and it's pushing them out. And they're afraid for their lives. And Jonah tells them, hey, this is my fault. The reason that we're in the middle of this storm is because I am trying to flee from God. So if you will throw me overboard, then you will be rescued. So they throw Jonah overboard, and the scripture says that God had appointed a fish to be there. And that fish swallows up Jonah. And in chapter 2 of Jonah, it says that Jonah cried out to the Lord when he was in the belly of the fish, and the Lord answered him. Did you get that? Where was the Lord? He was right there, even in the belly of the fish. Jonah was trying to run and hide because of his disobedience to God. And if you want to know if you can run and hide from God because of your disobedience, look at the life of Jonah and you will find out that there is nowhere that you can run and there is nowhere that you can hide because God's presence is everywhere. Jonah's disobedience had Jonah trying to run and to hide, but he found out that God was still there. Sometimes we try to hide from God because of sin in our lives. Sometimes we try to run from God because of disobedience in our lives. But there are some that try to run and try to hide from God because of pride in their life, because of rebellion in their life. And they think that they don't need God in their life. And so they want to run from God. They want to hide from God. They want to act like God doesn't exist. They want to act like that I can do my life better without God than with God. And so they are running and they are hiding from God. And they don't want anything to do with God. And David understood this well. And he says, there's no way that we can ever escape the Spirit of God. There's no way that we can ever get away from the presence of God. Now, as I went through each one of those today, I believe that all of us in this place are in one of those four different areas that I talked about. One, you're either living in the presence of God and you're experiencing the joy of God. Or you're hiding from God because of sin that you've allowed in your life or pride or other things. Or you're running from God because God is calling you to do something and you're saying, I'm not going to do that. Or there's pride and disobedience that's keeping you separated and rebellion that's keeping you separated from God, saying, I don't need God in my life. We're in one of those four areas today. So where are you at? Be thinking about that as we continue on this morning. So we see that God is present in life through everything that I just read. And we cannot escape His presence. And by the way, let me say this. If we're trying to run from God or we're hiding from God and we're feeling that conviction of God, we should be very grateful today for His conviction because He is showing us that I love you and I want your relationship with me to be restored with me. I want you to experience the joy of being in my presence, and I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far you've run. I don't care what your past is like. I love you, and He is calling you to Himself today. So the conviction's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It makes us very uncomfortable, but it shows us where we need to be with God. So God is present in life. But the psalmist goes on in verse 8, and he shows us that God is present even in death. Notice what he says. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. So he's showing us that even in death, God is there. And the first thing he says is, if I go up to heaven, then you are there. Now that one's obvious to us, right? Jesus said in John chapter 14 that I'm going away. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. We know that this place that he is preparing is this place called heaven. It's a place for all those that have placed their faith and trust in him. And Jesus says that if I'm going to prepare this place, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself, because where I am, there you're going to be also. And you're going to be there with me for all of eternity, right? That's a great promise that we have as believers. So that one's easy for us to get. But David goes on to say, but even in death, some versions say Sheol. The word death there is Sheol. So what David is saying is, even if I go into hell, you are there. If I go to the grave, if I go to hell, you are there. Listen, those in hell will know God's presence. Those in heaven know God's presence. They're in God's presence. They're experiencing his love, his grace, his mercy. They're understanding it all right now on this side of heaven. We get it, but we may not completely understand it. And I believe that when we get to heaven one day, that's when we're truly going to understand his grace and his mercy. But I believe this too, and this is what David is saying. Even if I go to hell, your presence is there. And even the people that die without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to know, they're going to completely understand his mercy. They're going to completely understand his grace. They're going to completely understand his forgiveness, and they're going to understand that I rejected every bit of that, and I turned it down. You see, the atheist today can say that I don't believe in God. But I promise you this, one day their eyes are going to be open and they're going to say, I believe and I reject it. And they're going to know the presence of God. In heaven, we're going to be able to embrace the presence of God. But in hell, they will not be able to embrace his presence. The prideful may think that when they die, I will not have to worry about his presence. I won't be in his presence. I've heard people say, I die, I'm going to hell with all my friends. We're going to have a big party. Can I tell you, there's not going to be a big party in hell. What you're going to understand in hell is you're going to know God's presence. And you're going to know of his wonderful love for you. But it'll be too late to receive it. Too late to accept it. So David says, even if I go to hell, your presence is there. And then he goes on in verses 9 and 10, and we see that God is present in distance. He said, if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. The term wings of the morning is a reference to the rays of the morning sun. And so David is saying that if I could get on a ray of light, and I could travel from one end of where that light begins to the other end where that light ends, I still couldn't get away from your presence. He says, if I could go to the furthest oceans, no matter where I go in this world, I could go to the furthest places of this world, and I can still never get away from your presence, because even there, your presence is with me. And not just with me, but you will guide me. And you will strengthen me even in those places. Listen, there is nowhere that you can go to get away from God's presence and all of his creation. And when you think about how big our universe is, how big all of God's creation is, and to think of that there is absolutely nowhere from one end of it to the other that you can go and get away from God. And even if you were able to get there, that God would still guide you. God would still lead you in that place. And then we see that God is present even in darkness. God is present even in darkness. Look at verse 11 and 12. He said, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. We need to understand today that even in the darkest days of our life, God is there. Now, we live in a world that is getting darker and darker by the moment. By the way, I've read the end of the book, and it's going to continue to get worse. We know that. But we also know that God is still in control, and that no matter how dark the world around us gets, that God's presence is still there. You don't believe me that the world is getting dark? Just go home today, turn on your news. You don't have to watch it very long, and you will see this dark world that we're living in. But even in this dark world, sometimes we ask the question, God, where are you? God, do you not see everything that is going on? God, do you not understand what we're dealing with, what we're living with? And the answer is yes, he is there and he knows and he understands. But then there are times in our personal lives when we go through terrible seasons of darkness. Sometimes that darkness can come with the loss of a loved one, close friend. Sometimes that darkness can come because of sickness, of illness that comes in our life. Sometimes that darkness can end because we lose a job or other things that go on in our life. Sometimes that darkness comes because of stupid decisions that we make, and there's consequences to those decisions, like Jonah, and we end up in the belly of a fish. Sometimes there's things that happen in life, and we find ourselves in a dark season of life. But let me remind you that even in the darkest season of your life, God is present. God is there. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. But you can call out to him. And you can know his presence. So we see that in life, in death, in distance, and in darkness, you cannot escape God's presence. So let me give us some applications today to help us as we leave this place and we go out into the world around us. How does this apply to our life each and every day? Well, the first thing is this: understand that God's presence is not confined to a place. God's presence is not confined to a place. What do I mean by that? We come here on Sunday mornings. We worship together on Sunday mornings. It's great to come together and to worship together. It's great to be around other believers that will encourage one another and we grow together in Christ. But God's presence is not confined to this place. As a matter of fact, God's presence goes with us everywhere we go. Not does his presence just go with us everywhere we go, but his presence is already there everywhere that we go. And not that his presence is already there everywhere we go, but it's been there everywhere we go. And it will be there even after we leave that place. The great philosopher Yogi Berra once said, "I find that everywhere that I go, there I am." Now that's great, isn't it? Everywhere I go, there I am. But here's the reality. Everywhere I go, not only am I there, but God is there also. You don't have to come to church to meet with God. I'm glad you came. But coming to church, again, is special because God's presence with other believers. But you know this, when you go to work tomorrow, God's there. When you go to see the doctor this week, God's there. When you go to the grocery store, even in Walmart, God is there. And his presence goes there before us. His presence goes there with us. I love this. Someone once said this about the presence of God, that with the presence of God, I know that he is behind me, encouraging me. I know that he is beside me, protecting me. And I know that he is in front of me, guiding me. Everywhere that we go, God is there. He's not confined to a place. And the second thing is this, is that we need to let the light of God's presence fill our lives each and every day. Let the light of God's presence fill our lives each and every day. When the light of God's presence fills our lives, then we will not be trying to hide from him. We will not be trying to run from him. We will understand his grace and forgiveness. We will stop running from him because of our disobedience. And we will be obedient to what he asks us to do. We will turn from the pride in our lives that says, I don't need God in my life, and we will trust him as our Lord and Savior each and every day. Can I say this morning? If you're in a place where you're trying to hide from God because things that you've allowed in your life, God knows all about that. He already knows. Don't hide from it. Confess it to Him. Allow Him to do a work in your life, to help you through that time. Today, if you're running from God because of disobedience, maybe God's calling you to something. Listen, I did this in my life. When God was calling me to ministry several years ago, I was running from God as fast as I could. I had my mission. I had my plan in life of what I was going to do. But here's what I discovered is there's nowhere I can run. There's nowhere I can hide from Him. And one of the greatest days of my life was when I quit running. And I said, yes, Lord. So if you're running from God because of disobedience in your life, stop running. You can't outrun Him. He's pretty fast. He's going to get there before you are, so give in. Don't run anymore. Today, if you're living in rebellion and you're saying, I don't need God in my life, and you're trying to run from Him, know this, you can't outrun God. You can't run far enough away from Him. His presence is everywhere. Don't run. Give in and say, Lord, I want You to be the Savior of my life. I accept Your forgiveness and Your grace. There's no need to run. Receive what He has for you. Let the light of God's presence fill your life. And then the third thing is this. Live your life courageously for Him. This means that we will not live in fear of the things or the evilness that's in this world. But we will live our lives understanding as Paul did in Romans 8, 38 and 39 when he said, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds for each one of us, but I know who holds tomorrow, and we can trust Him, and we can live our lives without fear. We can live our lives courageously for Him, knowing that He is with us, that He's behind us, He's beside us, He's in front of us, and He loves us. The presence of God. We cannot escape His presence, but we can live in His presence. Psalm 16:11 reminds us that in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. As a follower of Christ, I can live my life knowing that God is with me. Isn't that good news today? God is with me everywhere I go. So live our lives like we serve a big God, because guess what? It takes a big God that can be everywhere at all times, knowing all things, living with us and us with Him. Let's pray together. You bow your head and close your eyes this morning. Again, I ask the question, how big is your God? And do you know this God that we have talked about? Where are you at on this list of things today? Today, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, and you feel His presence, He's drawing you unto Himself, then today, don't run. He is showing you His love, His grace, and His mercy. Receive it today. Today, maybe you've been a believer for a long time, maybe a short time, but you've been running or you've been hiding from God. You can't run. You can't hide. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. He knows everything that's going on. Just release it to Him today. Father, we thank You again for Your word. Thank You for Your word that encourages, Your word that convicts. God, I pray that You would just speak to each one of our hearts today. God, as we ask that question, how big is my God? God, I pray that You would help us to get a glimpse of how big You truly are. And God, I pray just as that mustard seed is a tiny, tiny seed, and God, we would have that much faith in a big God, and that You would do big things in us and through us. God, I pray for anyone here today that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, that today you would just draw them unto yourself, and today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would wait no more. God, I pray for every believer that we would live each day in the fullness of your joy as we know your presence in our life in a powerful way. We would be obedient to you. We would follow you as you lead and you guide us. God, I thank you today for your wonderful love for us. You know us and you still love us. Thank you for the hope that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.